chains to Paul. Paul was very much of a man that we would have to say was very devoted. He was a devoted man of God. Some would say that he's the picture perfect example of what a missionary should look for to be. And as we look at this, I find that he loved the bonds that he had. Now, understand that when we're looking at this book of the Bible, he's in the darkest dungeon that they could have. Dark. I'm not talking about, you know, solitary confinement. I'm talking about they lowered him in a bucket down a well. I'm just picturing in my mind. Lowered him down, gave him a candle and a desk, and it was a muddy floor, and I'm sure it was not the best living environment he has ever been in. And he's writing these words: I am thankful for my bonds. I'm thankful for what I'm doing. Why is that? Because I am doing this not because of something that I've done, but because of a Savior that I love. I'm here because of a God that I cherish, a God that I once put Christians in jail for. I am now in jail myself because of the love I have for this Creator, for this God, for my God, the one true God. So as we look here, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 12. If you can, let's stand for the reading of God's word. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of my brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, verse number 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. The title, The Bonds That We Carry. The bonds that we carry. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray that you'd bless this message, Lord, the message that you have prepared. I pray that you'd help it to be something that we look at and we say, it's not so much holding us down, but giving us freedom. Lord, I pray when it's all said and done, we give you all the honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. There are things I'm tied to, things that I will always be tied to. For example, my family. I love my family. I'm very loyal to my family. My daughter back there drives me nuts at times. It just drives me nuts. But there's times, I tell you, if anyone ever went after my daughter, I'd be like, yeah, say that to my face. And if they did, I don't know. But what I'm saying is there are things I'm tied to especially my family. Sports teams. I hate to say it, but majority of us have a sports team that we are associated with. Some of us to college teams that we're associated with. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'll sit in front of a TV eating my nachos, yelling for the Cardinals to complete a pass, maybe sometime in the near future. I'll do that. I have ties to sports teams. I've got ties to my family. I've got ties to other things as well. And what do I mean by having ties to that? We are emotionally invested in that, whatever it is. You scream at a television for a sports team. You'll go to bat for your family 10 times out of 10. You are emotionally invested. You are loyal. That's the bonds I'm talking about. I'm not talking about physical bonds. I'm talking about the emotional bonds that you have developed in your life, some by birth, some by where you live, some by your hobbies, whatever it is. You are emotionally invested in something, maybe many things, okay? I think we all can agree with that. If you know, for example, some of the weirdest things. You probably have a favorite restaurant. At that favorite restaurant, you probably have one thing you order more times than anything else. I love Panda Express. I would go to Panda Express if my wife let me. She's tired of Panda Express. I go there, I get one thing. I want orange chicken, two things of orange chicken, and chow mein, and that's it. I'm a happy guy. And I noticed that about myself. I go, I'm invested, I'm mostly tied to food. It's kind of silly. But I'm emotionally invested in that product. When I go there, that's what I want. The bonds that we carry will be with us forever. Your family, your loyalty. These are all bonds that you have. And I do not believe they're by mistake. I do not believe we're loyal by accident. I believe God put that in us for a reason. It's because he wants us to feel the bonds of a true, sold-out Christian. I honestly believe that. I honestly believe that we have a lot of Christians out there, and you're the Wednesday night crowd. I know I'm talking to the people that are out here. It's Wednesday night. I'm tired, but I'm still at church. Okay, I know that, but I still believe out there. Maybe you're feeling it here, that there are Christians that are saved, but have not emotionally invested in what it means to be a sold out Christian. And I'm just going to show you a few things here. Three quick bonds that we carry. And I believe as Christians, if we carry these bonds, and I'm preaching to myself as well, if we carry these bonds, there is no telling what God can do. D.L. Moody said it best. The Christian has yet to see what one man or one woman can do that is wholly surrendered to God. So I'm going to show you three bonds that we have. Look at, and they're all in verse number 20, so we're going to stay in verse number 20. Verse number 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing, I shall be ashamed. Number one, the bond of a Christian is shameless exaltation. Shameless exaltation. What do I mean by that? Exaltation, and I looked it up. I Googled it, okay? So I looked it up. It's to exalt one that is higher than yourself. To exalt one that is higher than yourself. As a Christian, when we look at our lives, we tend to kind of step back from praising the Lord. I had a memo go out in Farmers, and it came across our desk, and Mr. Cox came into the office, and he said, "We got this memo. You are highly encouraged during the holiday season to say happy holidays." Highly encouraged. I raised my hand. I said, "Does that mean we have to say happy holidays?" You are highly encouraged to say happy holidays. So the first phone call looks up. And the funny thing about it is I have this guy that sits behind me. I just know he's looking at me. And I have this person over here that sits in the desk, and they're looking, and I pick up the phone without hesitation. I help with the problem. We get it fixed. At the end of the phone call, I say, "Merry Christmas." And it's just a habit. I didn't even think about it. I totally forgot what Mr. Cox said. He's highly encouraged to say happy holidays. Why is that? Because what have you been raised to say your whole life? Merry Christmas. Not happy holidays. It's just a habit. And it's not like I went up and said, "Not today." No, I went up there and said, Merry Christmas, because it's just a habit. And then I went up to Mr. Cox. I said, listen, I'm sorry. It's just a habit. He said, just say whatever you want. just go ahead. But that's a habit. Is reading your Bible a habit? Is praying a habit? Is telling others about Christ a habit? We don't have to be ashamed of a creator. We don't have to be ashamed of someone that is higher than, of something that is higher than us. We don't have to be ashamed of him, and yet how often do we exalt him? How often? Even in a church setting, how often do we, when pastor is preaching, say amen, and he has to stop and say, it's awfully quiet, you know? How often do we exalt him? It's shameless. Even here in prison, he said in verse number 20, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. That's a bond I want to have. I want to have a bond. It's kind of like, all right, we're family here. Y'all know how weird I am. All right. I work with children. Okay. That's just how it is. I get that. But you know what? My daughter does not hide around the corner every time I walk in a building because she's worried about who's going to be talking. You know, oh, there he is again. No, she'll come up and run and give me a hug because she's not ashamed of her daddy. She's not ashamed of her mom. When it comes to the Christian life of our heavenly Father, are we ashamed of him? It's shameless, guys. And I'm not trying to make us, it's like, what's the last time? No, I'm just trying to get you to think. I'm not saying we're ashamed of him, and I'm not saying we're not living the Christian life, but when was the last time we exalted him without even thinking about it? That's a bond that Paul carried. He was happy. He said, in nothing I shall be ashamed. I'm in prison. And I'm not ashamed of being in prison for the cause of Christ. I think that's something that we could take for ourselves, because at the end of the day, it's not us trying to get the praise. Amen? It's a command from the Lord Jesus Christ. If we follow his command, he gets all the glory. Shameless exaltation. Number two, verse number 20. According to the earnest expectation and my hope in nothing, I shall be ashamed, and that with all boldness, as always. Number one, make sure I don't get that word wrong. Number one, a shameless exaltation. Number two, a bold exuberance. A bold exuberance. Exuberance is basically meaning an air of happiness. An air of happiness about you. I was thinking about while I was putting this message together. Pastor Bill Whitehead is the man that actually got me interested in serving the Lord. I went to work with him for a summer and loved it. The first time I showed up in a suit, and he was in khakis, a button-down shirt, and rolled-up sleeves. I was in a three-piece suit. I don't know why I had a three-piece suit. And I had my Bible, I had my shoes shined, I had my tie looking good, even had that little dimple in the middle. Everything was good. And then he's there with rolled up sleeves, khakis, work dress shoes, and he said, huh. And he handed me a wire scrub brush. And we went into the cafeteria, the fellowship hall, and we began to strip all the wax by hand off of the cafeteria floor. We did that for the first 2 weeks before we even talked about ministry. And after we were done with that, he said, well, did you learn the lesson yet? I said, what lesson? I've been stripping wax off of a floor for 2 weeks. What lesson could I have possibly learned? He said, that even when you're waxing, stripping the wax off of God's floor, it's still fun. He's right. He was absolutely right. Because it doesn't matter what you're doing for God. It doesn't matter if you are up there singing or you're down here praying. It doesn't matter if you're in charge of a week where you are cleaning the halls or you're in charge of a class. It doesn't matter if you put the bulletins to the side or you're making sure everyone gets taken care of or you're an usher. If you're doing something for God, then you have the privilege of being a happy Christian. I think so many times we forget to tell ourselves that we win. You know? There are days, I'm not saying days are always going to be good or days are always going to be the best or things are always going to work out for you. But I'm just saying, as a Christian, people should look at us and say, what do you have that I do not? He was bold. He was happy. He had the Spirit of God inside of him, and that whenever anyone saw him, he was not reluctant to tell them, hey, let me tell you what God did for me. Philippians is a book about joy. The whole book is all about joy, written in a prison, in a dungeon. All about joy. I think there's something about that. I think we go through life sometimes, and I've done this. I get in my car, and I'm driving to work, and I'm just thinking, what's the point? You know, I get up, I go to work, and then I get off of work to go to work, and then I get off of work to go to bed so I can get up and go to work. You know, that's kind of the cycle that we've kind of, that I'm kind of in right now, and I find myself going, what is the point? I'm so upset, I'm miserable, da-da-da-da-da. And there are days when God allows me to take a step back and say, I've got an amazing church family. I serve an amazing God. I have a good family. I have God's word in my hand. I have the ability and I'm blessed to be able to go and work. You know? I'm able to do things. I'm able to enjoy my children. I'm able to have them come and tackle me every night when I'm home. And I take a step back and then I come back into reality and God says, why aren't you happy? As a Christian, we have something inside of us that really, if you think about it, it leaves us without an excuse to show the joy of God. We have salvation. We have a purpose. Have you ever done something and there was no end in sight? There's just no goal. Just go do it. Why? Because. I think the end in sight for the Christian is to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I think if we are showing the joy and we're bold about the happiness of Christ, I think that will happen. And lastly, and we'll be done. Verse number 20 again. According to the earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Not only do we have a shameless exaltation, not only do we have a bold exuberance, you're boldly be happy, but there's a holy exchange. A holy exchange. When you knelt down and you said, Lord, I repent. I repent. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things became new. And that exchange happened right away. But I think many times we think that we have arrived, so we don't really there's no need to work at it anymore. And that's the danger of a lot of Christians. Because when that exchange happens, when his blood covers your sins, you are going to heaven. But that doesn't mean the work stops. it gives us even more motivation to tell others about this Christ that died on the cross for us. It gives us even more motivation to say, Pastor, church, what can I do? It gives us more motivation to pray for our church, pray for our pastor, pray for the ministries. It gives us motivation. Why? Because the exchange that happened in your life was paid for with a price that was the cross. And if we take that exchange lightly and we listen to messages and think we've heard it before or everything is it's just whatever, someone else is going to do it, then that exchange, when it happened in our lives, will be for nothing. Sad to say. Now here's my question, and I'm done. I know all of you. And I know majority of you are working in many ministries. So what I'm saying is not necessarily to stretch yourself even more, okay? What I'm saying is what we should do as a church with this exchange that has happened in our lives, we should do what we can with the opportunities that God gives us to make sure that that exchange is not the best kept secret in our lives. The people you brush up against in the store, the people that you interact with every day. I go to work, and on my desk is my Bible. Okay, we work with 5 people. Okay, they all see the Bible. They all see the Bible, and I have not had anybody come up to me, oh, share the wisdom. You know, it doesn't happen, all right? But what I've had happen is one man, I think I mentioned prayer for him, he was having a really bad day, just a bad day. And he said, I don't know what's going to happen. I've lost all my money. This man was making 6 figures a year and lost everything. And he said, I just don't understand. I don't know what to do. I've lost everything. I'm here and I'm now making, this, and when I could be making this, da 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 da. What do you think? I said, I'm glad you asked. So I took him in the Bible. I took him through the Romans road, and I said, I've never had the money you've had. I never have. But I'm happy. Why is that? Because I followed the Romans road and I accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and true joy is never going to come through material things. It just will not. It's only going to come by something that gives you purpose, and there's no greater purpose than the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, good talk. He started working again. I don't know if it stuck with him or not, but I'm still working with him. But what am I saying? That exchange, that holy exchange that happened in your life, sad to say, stays with you. Not you in general, but it stays with you, with Christians. It stays as a secret, as a present, as a toy, as something that we keep. If you exalt Christ shamelessly and you're happy boldly, then that exchange is not going to just stay with you, because people are going to say, you know what, I make all this money, I do all of these, I have all these possessions, I'm just not happy. He doesn't, or he does, if the Lord has blessed you, but he's happy. He's always talking about Christ, or she's always talking about Christ. I wonder what they have that I don't have. Verse number 20 is a very powerful verse, because it tells you all you need to be a soul winner. Exalt Christ, show his joy in your life, and then exchange will happen. It'll give you opportunities. That's really all I have. I hope it's something you can use, and something that has been a challenge for me, I hope it's a challenge for you.